Well, good afternoon. We, congratulations or condolences, as the case may be, on being selected to be a member of the Charter Review Committee. We don't yet have a chairman, so I'm going to ask the clerk to call the meeting to order, and I'm going to call it to order and ask her to do roll call.
William Kepko.
Present.
Christopher Keller.
Present.
Tom McCarthy.
Here.
Cheryl Snyder.
Here.
Pam Walsh-Nagel.
Here. My name is spelled wrong on there. Should I tell you that?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll take care of it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thomas Baird.
Here.
Perfect.
The first order of business would be to take nominations for the chair.
I nominate Bill Kepko.
Are there any other nominations? There being none, Mr. Kepko has been elected chair by acclamation. Would you like
meeting adjourned?
Would you like to do the? Well, I'll go ahead. Yeah, are there any nominations for vice chair?
I'll nominate Tom.
Tom McCarthy?
Yes.
Are there any other nominations? There being none, Mr. McCarthy.
I'll nominate Cheryl.
Okay. Are there any further nominations? Okay. Those voting for Mr. McCarthy, please raise your hand and announce your vote. Okay. Those voting for Ms. Schneider. Okay, Mr. McCarthy, congratulations on your narrow election. And with that, I'll turn it over to the chair, who I would ask then to turn it back over for discussion.
Yeah, our next item is overview of the responsibilities of the Charter Review Committee, and I think Mr. Baird is going to enlighten us.
Thank you. Well, this is, although you have only received minutes from the last two Charter Review Committees, this is, I believe, my third rodeo. I believe the first time Mr. McCarthy was actually on the council, and Mr. Kepko was a member of that first Charter Review, at least during my tenure. And to put things in perspective, what a charter is that Florida law used to hold that a municipality only had the powers that were given to it in its charter. That changed in 1968 with a change to the Florida Constitution and the passage of the Florida Home Rule Powers Act. And in that legislation, the legislature gave municipalities large and broad powers to act on behalf of their citizens. As a result of the Home Rule Powers Act, a lot of the provisions that were in municipal charters became obsolete or unnecessary. So when the town conducted its first charter review during my tenure, and subsequently in the 2009 review, a lot of the committee's work was to remove from the charter provisions that are now governed by statutory law or governed by the town code. And the result of that was that the charter became much more narrow and functions more like a constitution would in a state framework, where you have a state constitution and then you have the legislature that makes laws. So in the context of municipal governments, the town's charter is a more lofty document, shall we say, and really establishes the organization of the government, which includes the terms of office and how elections are to be conducted. For that reason, it is changes to the charter are matters that both the Charter Review Committee and subsequently the council need to have strong feelings about and consideration of, you know, how necessary those kinds of changes are. And Florida statutes gives you a little bit of a flavor of what the really important issues are, because there are some things in a charter that require a referendum, and they are limited in their scope. And I'm going to touch on those. And then there are other things in the charter that do not require a referendum and that get amended by a simple ordinance adopted by the town council. When the last two charter review committees were convened, most of the changes, if not all of the changes, were changes that did not require a referendum, but required only an ordinance adopted by the council. So some of the things that require referendum is, obviously, the creation or existence of the town. So if it were your recommendation to do away with the town, and the council were to adopt that recommendation, there'd have to be a referendum where the citizens would decide whether the town should continue to exist or not. The terms of office of elected officials. So right now the town's terms of office are 3 years. Two council members are elected in one cycle, and two council members are elected in a second cycle, and the mayor is also elected in that second cycle. And then there's a year off, and then the cycle begins again. The terms of office, 3 years, and when I was first representing the town, they were only 2-year terms, or it may have been shortly before that, but and then change in the form of government. The council, the town, presently operates in a council-manager form of government. That form of government provides that the town council retains a town manager. That town manager is employed by the town pursuant to a contract. The council hires and fires the manager. The manager hires and fires all of the employees. So the manager reports to the council. The council is responsible for its communications directly with the manager. Now, in practice, in most cities and including in the town, the council does not object, for example, to a council member calling a department head directly, but that's something that is essentially the business of the council and the manager. Those are kind of the big ticket items for consideration. And I will tell you that there were some items that the council mentioned in the last time they discussed forming this charter review committee. And Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, I could go through those. But as part of your responsibilities, you're not restricted to whatever it is that the council has suggested. And I'm going to present those to you, but my suggestion would be that you treat this meeting largely as an organizational meeting, maybe have some discussion on those items, but that for your next meeting, after you've reviewed the charter and maybe given these minutes and that you've been distributed a second going over, that you come prepared with any ideas you may have in terms of sections of the charter that you think maybe need some work or are outdated. I don't I don't know that you're going to find anything that's outdated in there, because it's a pretty lean charter, thanks to the work of previous committees. But I want to offer this comparison, because it's kind of a measure for me in terms of charter changes. If you think of the Florida Constitution as a charter document that governs the state, and you think of the Florida legislature and statutes as really kind of the operative laws that the state operates under, then some of the things that have made their way into the Florida Constitution since I graduated from law school, and thankfully don't have to take the constitutional law exam again, because I would never get the answer right to some of these questions. But we've got things now in the Florida Constitution like the right to pig farming. And, you know, I'm hopeful that the Town of Jupiter Charter is not going to get involved in some of the issues that, you know, I think are, for whatever reasons, have made their way onto a ballot and have been passed and now govern our state as constitutional amendments, because they just don't seem to be to rise to the level in my mind, and I'm, you know, soapboxing here, but the charter is a very important document, and it basically establishes the governance of the town, and that's about as far as it really does go. Everything else is pretty much covered by the code. So here are the items that the council had mentioned, and I would in mentioning them, I would say that these are not new issues. They are issues that previous councils have referenced and previous charter committees have studied. One is runoffs. And runoff elections occur in the town when candidates face one, more than two candidates in the same, for the same seat face one another, and no one achieves more than 50% of the vote. So the two top vote getters would then run in a runoff election. And I think, Sally, is that like usually 2 weeks later or 4 weeks later?
2 weeks later, yes.
2 weeks later. And to frame that issue for you, we've had several runoffs in the town. Most recently, I think Councillor Posner and Councillor Delaney were involved in runoffs, and it was primarily the two of them that brought that up to the council. Mayor Wadraska was involved in a runoff the first time he ran for office, and I don't believe Councillor Coffer's never faced an opponent, so he's never been in a runoff. But I don't believe Councillor Koretsky's been involved in a runoff. So one of the criticisms, or two of the criticisms of a runoff election, are that there's a lower voter turnout, generally speaking, and the cost of that, because several years ago, the then supervisor of elections, Susan Booker, announced to all the municipalities that she was no longer going to cover the cost of their elections, that they were going to have to cover them. And one doesn't know if that will change, if the supervisor changes, but one can always hope. Then the other issue that was brought up by one council member, and I will say that I don't know that there was a lot of enthusiasm for it, but it was something that was brought up and referred here, are term limits. The third issue was voting districts, and by that I mean the town, these maps that you have in front of you, the town charter identifies, I don't know if they still, I think they just call them First District and Second District. They used to be called North and South District. And particularly when they were called North and South, that caused some concern because, as you can see from the map, it's not necessarily divided North and South. But the idea is that whatever two districts are composed in the town, that the population in each district be very close to one another. So that's something that is typically looked at on a, I don't know exactly the frequency, but typically the planning and zoning staff will have the population numbers generated, and they will look at the districts and evaluate whether that population between districts is staying similar in terms of the numbers. And we will have that information for you at the next meeting so that you can evaluate that and determine whether it's necessary to change anything or whether there are geographic changes that have occurred in the town since 2009 that might suggest that it's appropriate. And then the last thing, and I'm not sure about this may be prescribed by state law, so it's something that I still have to confirm, but there was a comment about the location of names on the ballot. Typically the ballot, the names on a ballot go alphabetically by last name. There have been studies which have suggested that there's as much as a 5% benefit to having Baird on the ballot before Capco. I would suggest there's a lot more to that than those two names, but there've been some studies along that line. So that's something that one council member kind of threw out there and said, well, let's kind of look at that. If it's state law, then so be it. If it's not, then maybe it's something worthy of discussion. And there was one other issue that was framed by Councillor Coffer in the context of discrimination and I believe sexual orientation. I'm not sure that that's an issue that's even, that discrimination per se is even covered by the charter in any form. It's covered, of course, by the United States and Florida constitutions, and it's covered by state laws. But since it was thrown out there, I'll do some further briefing with him on that and see exactly what we're talking about. That there's also a county ordinance that governs the town because the town hasn't opted out of it that falls into that same category. It's called the Housing and Places of Accommodation Ordinance, to the Chapter 21 of the County Code. And so I think that subject matter, I know that subject matter is governed by the County Code and also governs Jupiter. So whether it's something that's necessary for the charter would be up to you to look at and make a recommendation in that regard. And I guess that's kind of it in terms of my overview. I'm happy to answer any questions about the process. I know the charter's been distributed to you and the minutes of the 2003 and 2009 meetings. At least I asked for that to be distributed.
Yeah, it was.
So. Any questions for Mr. Baird?
Just one question I want to clarify on the term limits, because is that something that can be looked at by this committee, or is that something that we can, but it's governed by referendum? There was some, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, the committee can look at anything regardless of whether it's covered by referendum. But yes, the term limits is something that the committee can evaluate and make a recommendation on. This committee, not the same members, although two members are the same, looked at that issue in 2003 and 2009. It wasn't a recommendation of the committee, either committee, and it wasn't obviously adopted by the council in the years following the committee's review of the charter. But it's out there for you to make a recommendation one way or another if you choose to. And if you were to recommend term limits and the council were to agree with that, then it would go to referendum.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. The voting districts, when you give us the data for that, could we see populations versus as well as voters, number of voters in each one of those?
Well,
I'd like to see a discussion on districts being based not on population, but on the voting population.
We may be able to get that through the supervisor of elections office,
yeah,
might not be exact because it depend on precinct lines versus neighborhoods.
And maybe that's something that we would look at it. Is maybe adjusting the line so that they go more towards precinct or something. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll try to align the precincts within the two different areas and see what we get.
Okay.
But I would say this about it. I mean, the idea is or has been population, who chooses to register to vote or not. I'm not sure how that factors into the whole thing, but that's the way the charter has been since it had districts, which I guess is 1925.
Was anybody suggesting that they remove the districts so there's not districts, you just vote the top vote getters, you know, get rid of districts completely? Was that a conversation or not?
Was it in the past?
Yeah, I mean, has it ever been a conversation, or is that what the council is suggesting, is that you do away with districts completely and just go with the top vote getter?
No, I don't think the council hasn't made any suggestion on either doing away with districts or changing districts. The only discussion, and it was one council person who brought it up, was we should look at the districts to make sure that the number of people in the, I'll call it North District, or District 1 is the same number, or roughly the same number as District 2, which is required by the charter. So and I'm just using this as an example. I don't know that this is the case. But if since 2009, there's been such a substantial increase in population from Abacoa, and that's in District 2, has that growth overwhelmed District 1 to the point where the boundary needs to be changed? That's the issue that the councilor was looking at. And that's been the issue that's been discussed in the past.
So the census was in 2010, right? Is that correct?
The last census was
2010. Because I read in the minutes in 2009 that you all wanted to put it off until you got the census numbers. So that's a good thing. So I also read somewhere that there is a certain period of time that this needs to be studied at in depth, and I can't remember what it was. Was it every 5 years or every 10 years? What was it?
It's in
your charter.
The population?
The district segments need to be reevaluated on some.
Right.
Within some period. I can't remember what that was, though.
And that's why I made reference to the the planning and zoning staff. That's what the...
So, but I think we're within that time period, so it's something we have to look at, right?
Yes.
That one's not optional.
Yes, it's something you should look at.
Yeah.
Not less than every five years.
But it's...
Oh, it's just not less than?
It doesn't necessarily mean a charter review committee needs to look at it. It means the council needs to evaluate it. And that's why I referenced that council periodically gets updates from the planning and zoning staff on the population in those districts. And just to address the census, although the census is in 2010, the University of Florida publishes population figures based on their business and BEBR. And so they generate population updates based on the 2010 census, which are used throughout the state, you know, for not only for state purposes, but also for like federal government grant purposes that are based on population and things of that nature.
And those would go down to be refined down to our district level then? The Florida ones? Or would they just be Jupiter as a whole?
They can be refined because they're basically updating the census tracts.
Can go down to that level then?
The staff doesn't. University of Florida does. Of course. I've got a gator and a Seminole, so I don't know.
Do you have any more questions for Mr. Baird? Okay. Anybody else? No, thank you. And as far as the item number four, identification of other charter provisions for discussion at the next meeting, I think Tom's advice is good, is that I wouldn't want to try to get into too much detail now until everybody has a chance to really review the charter, collect your thoughts about it. But if there is something that you know you want to address and talk about later, and you know, certainly can mention it today. I know I haven't been through it in detail looking at it for purposes of, you know, any changes or cleanup items. I'm hopeful that Tom was correct that we had tackled most of the cleanup items over the last 20 years, but
there are a few things I saw, but I think I would still prefer to have some time to go through and maybe do a little research on some items and then come back at the next meeting and present all of it.
Is that how everybody else feels today? Okay, very good. Does anybody have any questions about the code of ethics and any requirements we have as advisory board members for Mr. Baird?
If you do, you can stay. There's a 6 o'clock workshop where the those of us public officials that are required to take that training, I know you all had to do it online before you got here, but ironically, the workshop was tonight. But of course, we didn't know that when we established your agenda. We could have, but then you would have had to meet at 7 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock, so.
Okay, any other business anybody wants to bring up?
What, have we established a pattern for when our meetings should occur?
I think we schedule it for like every 2 weeks. Same time, same place, same day. That's what I recall sending over to the manager's office.
Yeah, I don't think we've received anything about meeting schedule.
Well, it's really kind of up to you, but that...
As long as it's not the same night as planning and zoning.
Yeah, that would probably be the next one.
Via telephone.
No.
No?
Not under the sunshine law.
Oh, really?
Would you like to try and come back next Tuesday? That's the...
It's a town council meeting.
Seventh.
At 4:00 the same time?
Sally and I have to be here at 7:00, so we're happy to go 4 to... I'm speaking for me, Sally. 4 to 6 and then get a break.
You know, looking at the issues we discovered so far that council wants us to look at, I think we're going to... 2 hours will be more than enough to cover it, you know, at least until we find any issues that we get into really hot and heavy. I mean, I personally, that's better for me if we met later than 4:00. I don't know if that, how that works for everybody else. I don't want to inconvenience anybody.
I love 4:00.
Okay. Well, then, based on seniority, I like I said, 4:00 is perfect.
I had enough night meetings.
Yeah.
So we're thinking every 2 weeks, every Tuesday, or other Tuesday, starting at 4:00?
Going that next Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
Let's see, when's P&Z?
The 14th.
May 14th, so if you went to May 7th, that would work for you.
Yeah.
And then after that, you could do the 21st.
I have, so I could make the first Tuesday work, but the third Tuesday is always going to be tough for me. I have another board I'm a part of that we'd be in West Palm at 5:30 on the third Tuesday of the month. So it would be tough, you know, unless we were, I'd be about 5:00 to get to West Palm on time. But
okay,
I can make the first Tuesday work because my meeting's up till 6:30. So if we're at 4 to 6, I can still get to where I need to be by 6:30. It's just going to be a long day of meetings for me, which I'm fine with. But the third Tuesday is a little bit tougher for me.
If everyone can make the 7th, then Sally will circulate something to you, you know, so that you can get an idea, she can get an idea of when she could schedule the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
And then we can always confirm that on the 7th, you know, whatever date that turns out to be.
So we're meeting next Tuesday.
May 7th, yeah.
And then after that, every 2 weeks or to be determined?
So.
After that, Sally's going to circulate some dates and times to see what works for y'all.
I understood that it could be up to a 6-month requirement or...
Well, yeah.
Months to get this done.
As a technical matter, yes.
In 2 meetings last time.
Did we do it in 2 meetings last time?
Yes, in 2009. Took you, I think, 4 meetings the time before that.
Yeah, I think to put that into perspective, in 2003. Which are the minutes that you received that took quite some time. There was a fairly substantial overhaul of the charter, a lot of which was to eliminate things that were in there that were covered by statute. And Mr. Capco can tell you, because he's a lawyer in the bond field, there were provisions in the charter regarding bonds and financing that just were archaic.
At best, yeah. They had provisions like we would have to go, if the town was going to borrow a dollar, they would have to go to circuit court and go through and get the bond validated, which was, you know, there was no need to have hurdles that weren't helping anybody and just costing the town time and money. So that was an example of what we did. But, you know, I think the next go around, like Tom said, that's why we were able to get through much more quickly. There were still some issues that we dug into, but it was more focused.
But many of those were the same list as we have now.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, the only difference is the location of the names on the ballot and the discrimination, sexual orientation. The other three were things that you discussed at the last.
And 2003.
Yeah, both times.
In 2009, the Charter Review Committee, Mr. McCarthy chaired it, and there were the county attorney of Palm Beach County was on it, an assistant county attorney from Martin County was on it, and Mr. Caplio was a former assistant county attorney as well. So the individuals that were on it were individuals that had worked with charters for a good portion of their career, and I think their tolerance level for, you know, a real scrubbing of it was kind of like...
Well, you were basically, you know, except for one person, the same team that met in 2003. So, yeah, you were new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. It was only one person difference, and that was the town manager. And the assistant town manager bumped up, and then there was a new town manager.
Yeah, but they weren't members of the committee.
But they, in your minutes, they were. Mm-hmm. They were the only difference.
So this is an opportunity for
if those were
new
not,
blood.
Then the committee was the same both in 2009.
Yeah, for some reason,
it's
I don't. You could be right. You looked at it more recently than I have.
I have it right here. I have the only. Yeah, there. It was everybody was the same except for the town manager and assistant town manager.
I have one other, just one final question. So when we look at the charter and we have items that we want to bring up for discussion, what's the format? Do you want us to try to circulate that via email ahead of time, or how do you want to handle that? Are we just going to discuss it at the meeting and bring it up?
Why don't you circulate it to me so that we don't get into any potential sunshine issues, and then Sally and I will put together an agenda on it.
It's good question. It's a good idea. And I think it was in 2009 that it may have been 2003. You know, once you get to this age, those years get mixed up. But we actually had a suggestion made by, I think, two members of the public that the charter be changed so that the Charter Review Committee would be prohibited from having more than one lawyer on it.
Yeah, I saw that in 2003.
Yeah. And yes, I did take that personally.
As did the other lawyers.
Yeah.
Us lawyers are everywhere.
Is everybody here a lawyer?
Not everybody. I am.
Sure. I'm sorry.
He's an engineer.
Engineer.
Yeah, God. Engineers give legal opinions more freely than lawyers do, from my experience.
So that's really weird. Four lawyers and two engineers. I'm an engineer.
Well,
okay.
Thank goodness there's a majority.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Sounds good.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.